This week on Art on the Air, our whole show features intergalactic star rocket musician Bethy Lovelight, whose music ranges from angelic down-tempo to hip-hop, reggae, rock, and she'll exclusively preview her new song release, Samande. Our spotlights on Chicago Street Theater's annual presentation of Teen Fest on March 9th and 10th.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, WVLP, 103.1 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Also heard on Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Media. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. We'd like to welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight from the Chicago Street Theater. They've been busy this season, but their newest thing coming up, Teen Fest 2025, and it'll be directed by Lisa Formosa Parmigiano, and it's in three levels. And on the level three, we have someone else coming along, Avery Thompson, alumni from there, and he's going to be talking about the level three wild card. Welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight.
Thanks. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Aloha. Nice seeing you.
So tell us, first of all, what is Teen Fest at Chicago Street Theater? This is the 2025 version.
This is our 10th anniversary year. It is the showcase for the most advanced students who study with us at Chicago Street. Anyone can join a class at any level except for the teen ensemble. So there are students that have been there for a little while. They demonstrate ability and a sensibility to be a part of an ensemble. And they're invited to attend. Level one is anywhere from 7th through 9th. Level two is usually 10th and 11th. And level three are the seniors.
So what can we expect at any of the levels? You know, what's a typical day or typical event like?
We only meet once a week for 90 minutes. And in the fall, we go through some laying the groundwork, some of the training. I try to give them really advanced training. And then in the spring, we have gone through reading. We have a play reading committee. We read different plays and we vote on them, on which ones we'd like to perform. It's important. The Teen Fest, it's a chance for teenagers to play teenagers and to go through topics that are about teens that are pertinent.
Really relevant because they're teenagers.
Right. So you don't have a teen playing, you know, the mom or, you know, a 50-year-old character in some kind of a play. It was really important to me to provide an outlet while they're navigating through those years to have an artistic outlet for them to explore these issues with other like-minded teens.
Now, Avery, you're working on, you've been, first of all, involved in this, you know, as a participant, as a teen, but now you are, tell us briefly, you're attending college right now and everything, and you wrote the Level 3 Wildcard. So tell us a little bit about your background there and then about your authorship on this.
Great. Okay. I started the teen ensemble when I was a freshman in high school, and I've never seen anything like it before. It's so important to be able to play parts that are relevant to us and topics that resonate with the group, Because, I mean, each class gets to pick the play that they perform. And I think the space that Lisa has created is just learning what it means to be an ensemble is just so important. And I've found so much joy and passion through this space. And this year I've come back to be an assistant. And through the process, I did write what we are now performing, Wild Card. And I don't know, I wanted to write something because obviously I've been through the ensemble before. So I know what it is that we look for and topics that, I mean, these are topics that the members of Level 3 said they would like to see in a play. So I took that into consideration and I wrote something for them.
Excellent. And your college studies, tell us really briefly about that.
Yes, I am a student at DePaul University, the theater school. It's a theater conservatory in Chicago, and I'm a theater arts major, second year, kind of focusing or concentrating in directing and teaching, and that is kind of something that I got a passion for through Lisa and her program.
So about how many plays in each of these level are written? And so like, what are you choosing from about how many students choose to write a play?
This is only the second time it's ever happened. An alum from years ago, Meg Bell, also wrote a play and we performed it. This is only the second time that we've ever done an original piece. We normally read plays through theater folk, through youth plays. We very rarely are fortunate enough to have an original piece. So this is
so exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And it's our 10th anniversary. It's really, I'm thrilled.
So tell us about how the evening progresses. You're going to do, I think, three performances of these three levels. So what can you expect in the evening to see what's happening?
Well, you arrive in the lobby and we're going to try to influence you a little bit with that. And level one's play runs about 35 minutes, and then level two is about 45. Then there'll be a 15-minute intermission, and then you come back in for level three, and that will run at least an hour long, and it'll be the culmination of the whole event.
And across the three levels, how many people do you have involved?
In level one, we have 7. In level two, we have 9. And in level three, there are only 4.
Now, is there a fee to be in this, or is it free to open? How do you work that?
Well, you enroll in the class for the year. So it's a year-long workshop that you enroll with for me, and you meet with me 90 minutes a week on Wednesday nights.
Excellent. Well, in our final moments here, I know you have also briefly tell us about the show dates and everything, but also what you have coming up in the summer that you're directing, Lisa.
I'm directing Shakespeare in Love this summer, so, and Avery is co-directing with me, so it'll be wonderful if you come out and see that. Our Teen Fest performances are Friday, May 9th. Saturday, May 10th, we have 2 performances, a matinee at 2:30 and an evening performance that starts at 6:30.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art of the Air Spotlight and sharing about Teen Fest 2025, and you can find it on the website there, which is chicagostreet.org. Lisa Parmigiano and Avery Thompson, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing about your Teen Fest 2025.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. It's so exciting.
Art on the Air Spotlight and the complete one-hour program on Lakeshore Public Media is brought to you by Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker. This is Pledge Week for your public radio station, and Art on the Air encourages our loyal listeners to support this station by making a monthly sustaining pledge so we may continue to bring you this great program.
Hi, everyone. This is recording artist David Arkenstone, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media 89.1 FM and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
We are delighted to welcome Bethy Lovelight to Art on the Air. Bethy Lovelight is an intergalactic star rockin' musician. Living as a multifaceted artist, she composes, records, and co-produces all of her original audio creations. She offers a stellar variety of music from angelic downtempo to hip-hop, reggae, rock, singing with the utmost light of love. She intentionally catalyzes ecstatic ascension through her sonic art. To unify through sound is where her soul is found. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Bethy Lovelight. It is terrific meeting you.
Oh, it's so nice meeting you face to face now. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I feel very honored.
Thank you.
Well, we love having you on the show, and we'd like to give you an opportunity to tell us what I call your origin story. I set it up by saying how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us all about Bethy Lovelight.
All right. I feel so blessed to be here to share this today. So I was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to two epic human beings, my mother and father, John and Tara Ross. And we were very close, and their whole goal was to be very loving, honest, real, kind parents. And so somehow, thank God and Goddess, I was born into that family. And so I spent my first 5 years in Philadelphia, and my dad had just gotten out of Princeton, and he took his first church in Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania. And so I spent my first 5 years there. And my parents had also, before I was born, I'm the first biological child. And my parents had decided in the early 70s to interracially adopt, which was a big deal back then. Mm-hmm. And I felt so blessed, you know, that I have these two, an older brother and sister, half black, half white. And I felt like I got from the get-go that we are one family. And of course, genetics are amazing and blood family is amazing. But the reality is what I realize is that we go farther back beyond these genetics and these bloodlines to this cosmic bloodline where we are all family. And so I just feel grateful that I got to live that experience from the beginning. And then also after I was born, my parents had another biological child. So my younger brother, Ryan. So Brad, Lisa, and Beth at the time, my birth name, and Ryan. And so when I was five, my dad got called by God to a church in Pueblo, Colorado. And so we got to move to Colorado, and I love Colorado, and I still live here. I live in Boulder, Colorado. And so from the time I was five until I left for college, but I'll go into that a little bit. I grew up in Pueblo, and at the time it was a very different place than it is now, but it was pretty safe. And I grew up in just a loving, nurturing family. But at the same time, I also was struggling with the reality that I wasn't all the way feeling connected to my body, mind, spirit in my life path. And I also wasn't connected to the food I was eating. And there was a lot of, as much as my parents made amazing food, we also ate fast food. And I'm what you call a HISP, a very highly sensitive person. And so I didn't know at the time, but I was having a lot of reactions to these chemicals in the food and pesticides and all these different things. And so I felt like very loved and nurtured in my family, but I also felt disconnected from this world. And I wasn't really quite sure what I was doing here. I felt very comfortable at home. And I was also like very overachiever, an A-plus student, and like, you know, president of this and like varsity team and the sports. But that like that core like connection to what I was doing on this planet wasn't quite there yet, you know? And so then the option after high school at that time, 1993, when I graduated from Pueblo East High School, was like, you know, get a job at, you know, minimum wage or go to college. And I was like, well, I'm going to go to college. And so I went to Colorado College, which is a really beautiful private school in Colorado Springs. And that's when my world just really started to expand, you know, and I started to like be away from home and started, you know, exploring different parts of my world and realizing that I also loved women and just, you know, like expanding my idea of love. And so then I went out to San Francisco for a while, took a little break from school and did the like Pete's Coffee thing. And I went to that whole kind of queer culture out there in San Francisco. And then I went back and I came back to Boulder and I finished up my degree here at CU.
And what was that? What were you studying?
I was studying women's studies, which for me is actually human studies. Because the first thing you learn in women's studies is you can't have the concept of woman without the concept of man. And that we are actually completely connected and one being. And so for me, I always like to call it human studies. Mm-hmm. And really about like race and class and gender and sex and like expanding my vocabulary to be able to understand the world around me, and especially growing up with interracial brother and sister, you know, and the first kind of like defending moments of like when people were calling my brothers and sisters bad names and I was standing up for them and, you know, taking a stand against that kind of behavior. And so to be able to learn the language for how to be more unified on this planet and kind of understand and appreciate the diversity that we see and the beauty of all the different kinds of flowers and the different kinds of humans. And to, of course, we all kind of have preferences of the kind of people we like to spend time with. But for me, it's not based on the color of your skin or your class or your race. It's about like how you express yourself and your soul. And so I finished college here and I thought I was going to be a professor because that seemed like the thing for me to do to be able to make a decent living and kind of express myself in a theatrical way because I had some really cool professors and I was always friends with them. And I started going to Sanitas here in Boulder and hiking around. And Sanitas means to your health. And it's my favorite trail here in Boulder. And this is when I started like creating these, expressing and these poems, these kind of little ditties that often had to do with social justice is kind of how I started out. And it would just be like me and the rocks and the birds and the sky. And I really just needed to express like that I realized that my voice could make a difference. And I knew that from my father. When he spoke, people listened and it transformed their lives. And he's a well-intentioned human being and he spoke truth, you know? And so I realized the power of voice from very young. And so I started kind of making these raps and songs about social justice and like environmental justice. And it was all kind of about justice. And I started sharing it with my friends. This was about like about 14, 15 years ago. And it was like a slam poetry kind of. And I actually had a dear friend who was a slam poet. And I realized, well, I could do slam poetry. But then I realized, well, what if I put some music to that? Then I could probably reach a larger crowd of people.
Right, because we take it more in with music. I mean, that's why Montessori Waldorf is based on teaching everything through song, because our bodies remember it better that way, I think.
Exactly, and that I could remember strange commercials from when I was five. And you're like, okay, well, that's a program that works. If we put a little jingle in here and we put some beautiful music there, then we're probably going to remember these concepts, which really are like kind of basic, like kindness and goodness and unity and like acknowledging that there's something beyond all of us that's created all of this. And maybe we could have some gratitude for that, gratitude for this experience, you know, and also, you know, acknowledging and loving the religion that I came from, but also realizing, and with my parents too, realizing as much as they absolutely love and adore Jesus and Christ consciousness, that it actually expands beyond and that all like well-intentioned religions are all connected, you know?
Right.
And let's just, like, take the best of them all and like be amazing human beings, you know?
It's so true. And so actually, now that you're mentioning love, 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 can you kind of talk to us about Love Hum and how that song came about?
Sure. So at this time when I started making my own music for these songs that started to come about, and I met my partner at the time, who's been my partner for the last 14 years or 13 to 14. I wrote this beautiful love song for her. And at the time, I didn't know how to make the music exactly. I had a little drum machine and I was like making the beats myself and just learning how to use Logic. And I didn't quite realize that I could have a producer at that point, to be honest. I just was like, I'm going to figure this out myself. And that's really the whole story of the heart of what I want to share today is that, yes, it's about that determination of like, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it myself. And then actually I hit a glass ceiling because I needed a producer's help to get Love Hum from where it originally was created. And the beats that I created myself for that song, which were all based on like by ear. I didn't know about keys or notes. I do now. When I met my producer, I said, hey, I have this beautiful love song that I wrote a long time ago. And do you think you could make the music for this? And that's how Love Helm came about, because it was written so many years ago. And it didn't matter, because it's a timeless song. And so I actually sung it to a metronome. And then I came into the studio, and together we filled in the angelic soundscape for that song. And I learned how to do my own harmonies. His name is Phoenix Clay Michael Hollingsworth of Totem Audio Productions. And he lives here in Longmont, Colorado, so about 25 minutes from me. And I spend many hours a week in his studio with him. It's been almost 2.5 years now. And Love Hum, our first song was Psychedelic Revival. And that was kind of our intro together, and took a really long time to like figure each other out. And then bam, Love Hum was the first one after that.
Wow.
And yeah, and it's just being, I guess I was one of the first people to actually to go and sit in the studio with him in person, because he does a lot of things online. And so we just kind of work together. And his mom is a vocal coach. So she actually taught him how to sing. So all of the methodologies and techniques that she used with him, he uses with me. And so I moved from this kind of justice rapping, which is good too, and I love and appreciate that. But harmonically and beautifully, what I'm moving into is that the justice actually comes from when we make peace within ourselves. When we become whole within and we become radiantly healthy, we clear our mind, we clear our slates by talking to all the people we need to talk to and ask for forgiveness here or give forgiveness there. We just like clean our slate, and then we become a pure vessel for all justice. And so that's my songs have kind of moved from this kind of rap justice to a spiritual kind of ethereal vibe, which actually takes you to a music that's cymatically. And we can talk about cymatics, so that for those who haven't heard that word of cymatics, but cymatically aligned and cosmically attuned music for your soul, which is justice. It's justice in itself. You almost don't even have to say that, because you realize we are all connected, and that the point is to wake up every day and be grateful and do our best to make this world a better place for everyone.
Well, let's take a listen to Love Hum. It's on an EP, and this is Bethy Lovelight and Love Hum.
Love Hum, cocoon. Love, love, hum, hum, yum, yum, through and through. Love humming with you. Butterfly is grateful, we'll fly soon. Breathing you is breathing. Reaching in to feel the deep you, finding where divinity first.
love humming with you. Butterfly so grateful will fly you.
Love Home, Bethy Lovelight. And you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM and WVLP, 103.1 FM.
What I love about Love Home and all the rest of the songs is that the lyrics and just, well, the whole sonic thing travels through my veins, you know, like it just sets up this vibration that travels through your body, which is like, it's just so incredible. And that's what, you know, I think all of us appreciate about it. I mean, it's like deeply resonant.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that means so much to me. I really spent hours and hours getting the perfect balance between the sub and the bass and the kick. Because, you know, in electronic music, sometimes the sub and the bass are too much. But if they're not enough, then you don't quite get the feeling in your heart. And so I really spend a lot of time like refining and honing that. So that means a lot to me that I hopefully hit that mark with that song. And, you know, I think everybody can relate to the caterpillar transforming into the butterfly and within the chrysalis, and how beautiful and kind of magical that experience is. And to connect that with the love experience with a partner, and we're transforming not only with a partner, but within ourselves. And so for the final chorus of Fly Grateful Butterfly, fly so high, it's like when we've reached a place of freedom within ourselves and we found a connection with love with one or more people or whatever your trip is, but you find true love and you're just flying so free. And when you find that, and then the last line when it says, butterfly so grateful will fly you. And it's like, I have experienced this, and now all I want to do is give back. All I want to do is fly you too. And so my work now is, because I have found these states of kind of, to be honest, after a lot of toil and transformation, like a place of heaven on earth in my soul, that my job and my wish and my true mission is to give that back by doing interviews like this and creating music, and really with every person that I come in contact with in my day, to spread love and light. Mm-hmm. And so, and I feel like that's the whole, for me, when I say star rocker, of course we all know about rock stars, and you know, I like rock stars too. And, but what I love with the lyrical play of words is to actually flip that to star rocker, which is, in a way, it's like utilizing medicines that can help, you know, instigate creativity and be muses, but use them in moderation so that we live a long time, that right. we don't die young based on these, you know, addiction to drugs. And not necessarily being a straight edger and saying, okay, we're not going to utilize these, but what medicines are we using and how are we utilizing them? And how do we bring them into our life in a healthy way where we're actually living longer and longer lives and we're star rocking with everything that we're doing? So,
well, just that word, you know, star brings you up. And so when I hear star rocker, I'm already traveling up, which is like such a... it was such an interesting flip of the words. And I think when we spoke, I told you how when I first heard Love Hum, I just saw Prince singing it. It just seemed
I love Prince
so much. Like, because Prince also was, you know, love as well. So, but I could hear his voice in Love Hum.
I remember you telling me that in our phone conversation. And I feel like my heart flipped around because in social media, I love to watch videos of Prince and Michael Jackson. Like, they're just kind of my hero guys. And I have women too, but I just, that meant a lot to me.
I'm curious about your songwriting process. And I mean, this is like different than probably a traditional, more lyric song, but tell us a little bit about your process and the creative process that goes behind it. What do you work from the music first, the lyrics, or how? And maybe it doesn't work the same for every song. Maybe some songs you approach it differently than others. But tell us about that process.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. Luckily, we had this thing called voice memos on our phones. And this is like my greatest gift in writing music, because when I feel inspired, and usually it's in nature or being in communion with people that I really love, and all of a sudden there will be like a feeling of a little ditty that comes through, and I'll get my phone and I'll just start recording. And it's usually some kind of prayer or some kind of epiphany in myself that it just starts to come through. Love, I'm just go back that for a second with my partner, was realizing how when we're in that place of that safe and beautiful space, when you're about to fall asleep and you're together, or you actually are making love, but that kind of love hum cocoon space, I thought this deserves some kind of song. This, like, what are we doing here? We're kind of in this love hum cocoon. And mm-hmm. then it's usually a concept, and then it kind of grows from there. And another song called Namaha, which is which we might be able to hear today here on the, yes. on the show. It's a Sanskrit word that means everything belongs to divine and nothing is mine. And so as we move through this life, and we all kind of have these kind of possessions, our cars and our houses, and of course this is all kind of how it works, but deep down when you realize that it really none of this, we can't really take any of this with us when we leave this planet on our journey into, you know, the evolutive future of kind of the unknown. But we can, from what I understand, take our consciousness and take love with us. And so it's just an acknowledging of the beauty of life and things, and especially with kids. I love to play this song with kids because they're always like, that's mine, that's mine. And I'm like, well, it's not mine, you know. None of it's really mine, but I am accountable for this house, and I'm accountable for my car, and I'm accountable for these speakers, and I need to take care of them, but they're not really mine. And so it's just kind of these kind of concepts that actually came from when I was at a concert, and one of my best friends, I was kind of going through something in my mind, and I was kind of attached to this reeling and spinning. And she was like, you know what? Namaha. It's not yours. Just let it go. Be at peace. And that's how I learned that word. And so that whole night I was like, Namaha. I got to let that go. That's not mine. I was like, I got to write a song about that, you know? And so it's usually a prayer or a wish or an epiphany in my own life that I feel like deserves to be expounded on. And it's usually a learning process for me. And it has to be something that I want to sing over and over and over, you know? So it's, It usually needs to be something that's a concept of unifying and understanding and giving back to the creator of all of this.
And I find that with kind of all the music is that you want to play them on a loop, because once just is not satisfying enough. It really does need to be played longer. But I think we should listen to Namaha now that you've
talked about it. Oh, cool.
Now that
you've, I would love to listen to Namaha. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Well, let's take a listen. Biffy Love Lights. And this is Namaha.
Namaha, ooh yeah. Namaha, ooh da da ah ah ah. Namaha, ooh yeah. It's not mine, 'cause there's only one mind. When the infinite shines, Namaha, ooh yeah. Namaha. Namaha, ooh yeah, it's not mine. We are healing into eternity together, yeah, forever. Oh yeah, yeah, we're healing into eternity together, yeah, forever. Oh yeah, yeah, healing is the feeling of communion, sacred union. Oh, Namaha, ooh yeah. Namaha, ooh da da ah ah ah. Namaha, ooh yeah. It's not mine, 'cause there's only one mind. When the infinite shines, shines.
my mind, yeah.
Bethy Lovelight and Namaha. Excellent. It was such a, I don't know, your music is so experiential, I guess is what I would call it.
You know, it really is. It's a very, I've never really heard anything like it. When I have to fill out what kind of genre and is your music for Spotify, I'm like, can I have some more choices, please? I mean, it's kind of like angelic electronic, and it's just kind of cosmically conscious, and I just think it is kind of its own kind of genre. So, yeah, it really comes out of a pure desire to share truth, love, and light through music that's high vibe. And, you know, I love to spread the message, too, that we have a choice with our consciousness every moment of where we put our consciousness. And I have actually a song called Precious Consciousness. And each one of us has this. It's not based on sex, class, race, gender, anything. Everybody has one. And you get to choose if you're going to watch that movie, or you're going to read that book, or you're going to listen to this radio show. And when you realize you have a choice to turn it off, turn it on, move over here, do this. If this book isn't doing it for you, you can stop reading it. I've walked out of many movie theaters. I'm like, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not putting this in my consciousness any longer. Mm-hmm. And that we have a choice of where we do that. And with, I wouldn't say a lot of music that is on the radio is not necessarily for the greater good and uplifting humanity. It's oftentimes about people's lives and their drama. And like, that's okay. But I really, what my work with my music is to get through the drama into the jewel of the message of the music so that you don't have to be my therapist through my music. I do that part and then I bring a jewel to you that has to do with helping you to awaken to your dreams and the beauty of your life. And that's another thing about being a star rocker is like, I'm just a vessel for you to actually reflect back to yourself. That when you leave one of my concerts, not only do you feel high vibe and harmonically aligned, but you're in your bed at night after the concert going, wow, what are my other dreams that I want to fulfill while I'm here on this planet? And hopefully Bethy Lovelight has helped inspire that inside of you, knowing that we're all connected. And the higher I rise, the higher you rise. And it's a win-win situation for all of us, and that there are no losers.
Now, one of the songs that you also sent us to sample was What It Is. Tell us a little bit about that, and maybe we'll take a listen to that one also.
So What It Is came about this concept and understanding that we make our life what it is, and taking accountability and responsibility for every thought and every feeling and I made up a word, believe-ins, in that song. Your believe-ins.
Believe-ins.
And how our, it's kind of a hip-hop thing a little bit, but like that what we're believe-ins, what we're believing and our believe-ins, as they shift and morph and grow, we see our reality shift and morph and grow. And so that is the power beyond any of these kind of within the matrix. There are certain programs that are oppressing and doing all these certain things. But when you bust out of that and you realize that you are so powerful and that your thoughts and your dreams and your visions, and I just, I do a vision board every year, and that we have vision board parties on the first day of every year, and that when you take some time to really think about what it is that you're creating in your life, and you find pictures and words and you put it all together, and you can do it through song or vision boards or paintings. It doesn't really matter the medium. What does matter is that you're organizing your thoughts and your wishes into some kind of organization and focusing on it every day and putting time and love and energy into that and teaching that to the children and realizing you can make your dreams come true. Mm-hmm. You have to be patient. You have to be devoted. You have to be tenacious. And you have to like give it everything that you've got. But you can make your dreams come true. And so this song is a reminder of that, that if what it is, which is basically a very non-judgmental stance of whatever our lives are, and whatever we want to say, good or bad or rich or poor or whatever, but whatever it is, that we have made it that way.
Yeah, we create it.
Bethy Lovelight's What It Is.
What do you think is possible? That you can do, and what do you think can truly come true? It all comes down, it all comes down to you, your beautiful mind, and what your heart holds true. What is
Lovelight's What It Is, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
My understanding that most of it is inspiration, that you're taking a walk and something comes to you, or do you have a, you know, do you ever consciously say, I want to say something about this, and maybe that's the entry, you know, you're thinking, this is what I'm thinking about. And then you're walking and the inspiration hits. So if you could delve into that a little more.
Sure. It's a great question. And it is kind of a mixture of all of those. But to give you an example of a specifically guided song, my song about life after death is called I Believe. And that I specifically wrote with my partner and all of my loved ones actually in mind of what would I want to share at the memorial service for my dearest loved ones. And I just sat down with those concepts. Like my dad would officiate many funerals and weddings and all of these different ceremonies. So I would participate and watch, and I realized, well, what kind of song would I want to sing or want to hear and at these ceremonies? And so that's where my song I Believe came to be. And it's kind of at this point kind of my magnum opus of a song. It's a longer song, and it's like a mixture of a symphony and electronic music. So there's cellos and violins along with bass and kicks. And so I really like that combination and the concept that we found each other this time. So I'll find you again. I will find you like I found you this time. And so that's the last line of the song. But that what we can take with each other is the love that we have shared. So in this time when this person is not here in the physical flesh anymore, let us remember the love we've shared and that we can take this everywhere and be comforted by that. And so I feel elated about this song. And luckily my parents are still here on this planet with me. But I visualize when they do leave to be able to sing this at their memorial service and feel like that's the kind of expression and what I want to say and what I want to share with them as they're moving through the ethers to the worlds beyond.
Have they shared? So how do they feel about your music? Do they love it as much as all of us do?
I think they do. I think they do. I think they're really starting to see the transformation from after 14 years now, and really starting to see my voice expand and grow and becoming more harmonic. And they're extremely supportive. So they're here for the journey for sure. So I feel very supported by them.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Well, you have a new release coming out. Tell us about that song real quickly. You know, we're almost running out of time, but we want to make sure that people hear you're going to have a world premiere. Tell us about this new song you have coming up, Bethy Lovelight.
Okay, great. I actually have many, many new songs on the docket, but I do think you're referring to a song called Samadhi, which is, of course, as many of us already know, it's kind of a nirvanic place of total enlightenment and bliss. And in this song, I actually talk about communal samadhi, which to a technical yogi, that might be repetitive, to be honest. But my intention with that, because I am a yogi, definitely, I really, that practice has saved my life and helped in many ways. So this word samadhi for me and communal samadhi is acknowledging that when you, Larry and Esther and I, if we all concentrate together and decide to acknowledge that we are one being and we are connected to some kind of magical creator or creatrix matrix, and we enter a state of unity consciousness, that this is a place where we can find a kind of bliss and healing and a place of safety and beauty and like community. Right, and I'm interested in that. I'm interested in people who want to be in those states of being. And so it has a very low BPM, which means beats per minute. It's very relaxing. And the intention is to lower your heart rate and to bring you into a state of unity through the music. And there's a dulcimer in that song. And I've been really utilizing this instrument more and more. And so it's to create kind of meditative and trance-like states for healing and connection.
Well, let's take a listen to it. Samadhi with Bethy Lovelight.
Becoming one with everything that is.
And that was Samadhi with Bethy Lovelight. And we only have about a minute left here to tell us about some of the things you have coming up.
Okay, great.
That was gorgeous, by the way.
Oh, Samadhi. Great. I'm so glad you like it. That one will be out very soon. So keep posted. You can find me at BethyLovelight.com, which is spelled Be Thy Lovelight, BethyLovelight.com. You can find all my music there and connections. You can email me at BethyLovelight, same spelling, at gmail.com if you want to be on my email list. I would love to put you on that. You can find me on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, and Pandora. And you're welcome to email me with any of your wishes and concerns. And I do house concerts once a month here at my house in Boulder, Colorado. And I have various festivals and events. So you can look at my website and find out more about how you might be able to catch me in person.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art of the Air and sharing your wonderful music. It's like I said, it's hard to categorize, but it very much is, takes you a different level. And of course, on our website, they'll click on your picture. It'll take you to your website. This is Bethy Lovelight. And again, you can find out more about her both on Facebook and her website, BethyLovelight.com, and listen to her wonderful music. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your wonderful arts and music journey.
Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Esther. I feel so honored to be here today. I look forward to joining you maybe again sometime in the future. But peace and blessings to you.
Yeah, very delightful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Art on the Air is also heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. If you have a smart speaker like Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or Apple Siri, just tell to play Art on the Air to hear the latest episode. Our spotlight interviews are heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Media. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operation for Lakeshore Public Media, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's Station Manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. We'd like to thank our current underwriters for Lakeshore Public Media, Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker. And for WVLP, Walt Reitinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art in the Air. We rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art in the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. You'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts, arts-related event, or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, BRECH.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.